34 young people being held in Barwon Maximum Security Prison in a separate unit of that prison, and those young people at different times have been transferred and held there for almost 2 months. They've been held in prolonged periods of isolation. Many of those young people are in 21, 22, 23-hour lockdown in an adult prison. And in the last 2 months, given the ongoing issues in the youth prisons in Victoria, there's been an increasing militarisation of in terms of the conditions in both youth prisons and in the and for young people being held in Barwon adult prisons, and that now involves the use of their specialist weapons and use of force teams from adult prisons being present in all youth prisons, and also being increasingly deployed in the young person's unit at Barwon prison.
Yeah, and there's also talk about restraints and capsicum sprays and things like that that's being reported in the media. And yet we saw last year what this could mean and could what kind of damage it could inflict on young people, especially when we saw the footage from Northern Territory. Do we experience similar detention conditions as in the Northern Territory here in Victoria?
All of the preconditions, all of the permissions for a repeat of the terrible abuses that occurred at Dondale are being cemented in Victoria. And those involve young people being treated as adults, with subject to the same extremely dehumanising conditions that adults are held in, the same extremely harmful and potentially lethal chemical weapons that adults are subject to. So capsicum spray that was used on Monday here in Victorian prison, the authorisation of the use of tear gas that was also used and at Dondale, the use of batons, the use of specialist teams, which have been repeatedly associated with deaths in Victorian adult prisons and deaths in interstate prisons, and most of all, the prolonged use of isolation, both in against children held in adult prisons and in children held in youth prisons. And it's really the use of isolation and prolonged lockdown that has underpinned the breakdown in children's lives in detention in Victoria. And because the use of isolation, whether it's because of staff shortages or as a punishment technique, is completely prohibited against children. 1 day is not acceptable. 1 week is not acceptable. Now there are children who have been enduring this for 2 months, and that leads to a profound mental health and other related breakdown in children. Yeah. And it leads to a terribly corrosive relationship between young people and their custodians in prisons.
Yeah. When you say, it's completely illegal to implement these draconian measures, what are the laws of detaining youth in adult prisons and the process of the latest cases regarding human rights?
Well, there was an international, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, who's an expert in torture. He conducted an international investigation into the use of isolation against children, against people with severe mental health and other disabilities, against adults. He found that the isolation was so damaging and so devastating and so counterproductive and so unsafe for children that it could not be justified under any circumstances for any duration. We know now, because of the leaked report of Peter Muir, that young people have been subject to long periods of isolation and solitary confinement in youth prisons themselves long before there were the disturbances that we have seen of last year and early this year. As I said, it cemented the underpinnings of a great deal of distress and violence in youth prisons and now adult prisons. It is itself a form of terrible violence against young people. And regardless of the fact that in youth detention systems, youth prisons, children are meant to be treated differently because they are different from adults, what you are, you know, in the law as it's intended to be used, what you are seeing is quite an intentional attempt to collapse the distinction between children and adults and to turn the youth detention systems, not just in Victoria, but right across the country, in plain sight of the atrocities of Don Dale, into a system where it really doesn't treat children any differently from adults, and turns youth prisons into singular pipelines into the adult prison system. That's what's happening in Victoria, with the intention to build supermax prisons and the militarisation of the youth detention system, the introduction of weapons, chemical weapons and other weapons, and specialist adult teams. We are now in the face of the manifest failure of the youth imprisonment system. That's all you can say, the manifest failure of the youth imprisonment system. The Victorian government intends to expand that failure and manifest it in even larger, more destructive prisons, instead of understanding what has always worked for young people is the most intensive accountability and support and trauma-based programs that always work with young people. Even the most complex young people, even the most challenging young people that challenge us to the core because of the extreme trauma and violence and neglect they've suffered in their lives, deeply benefit from systems of support and care and intervention and accountability that are not based in prisons and are not about enacting further violence on them, and does not teach young people that violence is powerful and violence is the way to go. What we are doing in Victoria, introducing chemical weapons, holding children in adult prisons, building supermaxes, is teaching young people that violence is all-powerful and violence is acceptable.
There was this Royal Commission in the Protection and Detention of Children that is currently underway. And why is the tough-on-crime approach being a major campaign in Victoria? And why is Victoria so... Why are we facing so many issues in Victoria compared to other states?
The answer to that is, at one hand, complex, and on one end, expedient. Yeah. You know, it is always expedience for the opposition and the governments to be running law and order campaigns, because the one voice that you never hear is the voice of the children who are at the centre of youth incarceration and mass incarceration and criminalisation. And I haven't seen any evidence that any of the investigations that are being undertaken, both public and otherwise, are really centering the voices of young people and actually asking this key question: what is happening for you? What is happening in your lives, in the lives of your peers, and in the lives of your community, and in your life in prison, that is impacting on you? What are the ways that we can help you through this time? That fundamental question that's centred on the importance and the value of children's lives, all children's lives, is never asked. So it's very easy for the Premier to talk about thugs and for the Minister to demonise young people in their care. It's much more difficult for them to actually engage in a conversation that treats young people with dignity and demands that young people act with dignity themselves, because you model dignity and respect in the first place. This whole discussion that this is a new breed of children, you know, this deeply racist language of the new breed, the new generation, the new type of youth criminal, is a deeply racialised one. It's almost always about either Aboriginal young people or young people of colour that need increasingly violent and authoritarian systems and institutions of control to disappear them from our community. You know, after almost 25 years of working with imprisoned people and their families, and working on almost 100 deaths in custody, you know, I have never found one instance where prisons worked to contest violence or to provide accountability for young people or adults. You know, what it teaches is violence and impunity. We have to, I think any inquiry, whether it's the Royal Commission ENT or any of these internal inquiries, we have to stare the failures that prisons create, the lessons in impunity and violence that they amplify, really look at decarcerating young people from systems of failure and systems of violence and harm, and really think, you know, in hard ways, about investing in measures that do work, because they're hard. You know, working in the community with young people and working to rebuild their lives is hard, and it works. Putting education around young people, putting health putting trauma-centred approaches, they work. The minister might say that these young people are past it, but they're only past it because we've given up. When you build a supermax prison, you're giving up for children who aren't even born yet.
Because when you say it's building for the future, the kids aren't born yet, because when you build these supermax prisons, at a later date, you need to fill them up.
Absolutely. And who and they will be filled up predominantly by Aboriginal young people, predominantly by young people of colour, predominantly by young people who've been in state systems of care. You know, ever increasingly they will hold young women and girls, because young women and girls, particularly Aboriginal young women and girls, are the fastest increasing prison population in this country. So that's exactly what the policy of mass supermax incarceration in Victoria is intended to do. It's quite intentional. And instead of investing in a failed and violent system, we need to think really about deep abolitionist and transformative justice approaches that support young people to be accountable by us showing that we haven't given up,
and prevent,
that we will be accountable.
Yeah, and prevent jail in the first place.
Absolutely, and prevent harm and prevent victimisation in the lives of young people and then lives of the whole community. That's the nature of transformative safety and security in a community. Supermax prisons, treating children like adults, subjecting them to paramilitary weapons and teams, is a recipe for deep and destructive violence and fear in the community. And we know that.